Hey, everybody, what's going on? This is Chris, and of course that means this is a brand new episode of Big Dumb Monsters. This is episode 63 of Big Dumb Monsters, to be precise. And today, Nick and I are going to be talking about the 1988 sci-fi action beat-em-up alien paranoia. There's a lot of genres to throw in there, but it's an awesome 1988 movie called They Live. Starring Rowdy Roddy Piper of WWF / WWE fame. Also Keith David and Meg Foster. We are going to get right into it because as you might have noticed, I am recording this alone. That's because we were kind of rushed at the time. And when we were recording the episode, that is, and we forgot to record the intro that night. So here I am a couple of days later trying to fix that mistake. But that's all. That's very inside baseball. That's how we are. We like to you know, show you how the sausage is made here at the Big Dumb Monsters. So here we go. Episode 63, talking about They Live. Fucking, I have not seen this movie in a very long time.
That's a fucking tragedy.
Yeah. Man, this is a fucking good movie.
It's so good. It's so bleak.
Yeah. I don't know. I've definitely seen this before. I've seen it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
It has probably been, I'm going to say, like 15 years maybe since I've seen it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's way too long.
Yeah. This was way better than I remember. Roddy Piper was way better than I remember. I always just like put this in like B tier of movies, but no, this is so much better than that. Like,
it's the A tier of B tier movies.
Yeah. Don't get me. Yeah. I'm not saying this should be winning Oscars. Like,
yeah.
As far as like the movies we talk about, like, yeah, this is definitely in the A tier of those movies.
But you also have to remember it's John Carpenter. How many stumbles has he really had? Yeah, a few.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
If you look at what he did, like, I don't know, 20, 25 movies or so?
Probably more than that.
And how many are there that are really clunkers?
Yeah. Let's get the official count on that. I am moving stuff all over the place.
You are.
Yeah. John Carpenter has...
Just directorial credits?
32 director, 60 writer
credits.
So that's a fuckload of filmmaking right there.
Yeah. Yep.
Did they ever specify what city this is supposed to be?
I don't think they do, because I think it's supposed to be one of those, like, any town in America.
Anywhere. I mean, it's definitely Southern California, from you know, the look of it.
I was thinking it's maybe like the Pacific Northwest, just like generically.
Yeah, maybe. There was the one like the church has like the Spanish like style to it.
Oh,
so that's why I'm thinking Southern California. And the city looks remarkably like Los Angeles. But
I mean, it probably was.
Yeah.
Hey, our man George Buck Flowers in this.
Yeah, we'll get to him.
Yeah, we've done him before.
That's right. Yes, because he was in another movie that we've talked about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got an interesting career.
Yeah. Homeless dudes and porn stars.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, man. The intro to this movie, remarkably like First Blood.
Yeah, like the homeless drifter, like wandering into town.
Yeah. What do you think of the pacing of this movie?
I didn't really, or
did you not really think of it?
I really didn't. I will say, like, towards the end, I was starting to zone out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I checked my phone a few times, but, like, up until maybe, like, three quarters of the way through, I was pretty much, like, locked in. Like, I think it does kind of, like, it gets to the reveal pretty quickly, and then, like, in the middle of the movie, there's a bit of a lag, I would say.
Yeah.
Because, like, not much goes on in the middle of the movie until he gets to the TV station pretty much at the end.
I'm kind of right there with you. Like, the beginning is nice. It sets up the characters, sets up the world that he's living in, his point of view on things.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the craziness, and I think that's paced out really well. But Act 3, I think, moves way too fast.
Yeah.
Like, and it, like, once they go into that that portal, the movie kind of jumps the shark.
I could definitely see that. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, which is crazy to think about because it's a weird ass alien movie about, you know, anti-capitalism and consumerism jumping the shark. But it's just like, that's a weird turning point in the plot.
Yeah.
Which is, it just didn't feel like it gelled. Like, I get it, like, because they have to bring, like, resolution to the entire thing. And that's kind of how they got there. But it was just a really weird note.
I don't know. Is that really necessary, though? I mean, like, we get more info on, like, kind of what's going on with the aliens. Like, they're, you know, they're just, well, it's just business. We're not, like,
yeah.
It's not like a full-on, like, invasion. Like, no, we're just, you know, here for the fucking money.
Yeah. But so, maybe it's because I wanted a little more mystery left to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it might have been better if we didn't get that reveal of, like, you know, they're on this spaceship, like, orbiting Earth. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. Like, I think, like, it didn't really need that. Because it's not like they needed to go there to stop the signal transmission. That's done at the TV station.
Yeah.
Like, do they gain anything out of going there? I don't think so.
That's where you learn that humans and the aliens are really in cahoots, like the high power.
Yeah,
it's like your one percenters are in cahoots with the aliens, and you get that kind of information. So.
But that's also been kind of like planted throughout the movie, though. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, they even talk about how, like, you know, the cops, like, you know, the ones who are human, like, you know, oh, they're in on it, like.
Yeah, and then you get her turn, her character turn.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it works. So the infiltration aspect of it works, but it's just not. I don't know. Listen to me talking like I know how to make movies better than John Carpenter.
Ooh, excuse me, folks. That's all in the podcast business, right?
Yeah, that is a warm Yingling Oktoberfest.
Yes. Yeah, we have the meeting of the seasons this evening. We have the Oktoberfest beer. We've got some Leinenkugel chilling in the fridge for the end of summer. I'm definitely going to down some of those shandies.
Yeah. Oh, and Labatt's, because those are good all year long.
Yeah. The official beer of high school.
Hockey fights.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Huh. Trying to think of other stuff I liked about this. I mean, the fights are awesome. The
5-minute, 20-second fight between...
Brutal fight between Keith David and Roddy Piper.
Yeah. And that was just a knockdown street fight. Like,
yeah.
That's all it was.
Just put the glasses on.
This is a union job.
Dude's just standing around, yeah.
Yep. There's a lot to like and a lot to unpack in this movie. Like, they're hitting you over the head with the message, but apparently that gets misconstrued a lot.
Yeah.
Also,
I mean, this movie is extremely relevant to today's society. Like,
sure is, dog.
Yeah. Fucking. Yeah. 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 A lot of people. I love when they like, clearly, Roddy Piper has never dug anything in his life. Like, the way he was just handling that shovel, like, like a little kid, like, you know, just beating up a pile of dirt with a shovel.
Yeah. Why are you digging into the pile? You're supposed to dig the hole. Monster design, amazing, iconic.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, because it's they're humanoids and so they're familiar, but at the same time they're so like off-putting
and grotesque.
Yeah.
You? You're all right. Her? Real fucking ugly.
Like, I didn't... He made so many dumb moves in the beginning of this. Like,
oh, yeah.
The second you find out, like, what these glasses do, wouldn't you immediately go back for the rest of the glasses that he just put in the dumpster?
Yeah.
And then, like, fucking be cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's acting very much, like, you know, in a way that tells, like, gives away the fact that he can see what's going on. Like,
yeah. That is a little bothersome for me, where he goes from, like, Joe Everyman to Rambo.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, with the cheesy one-liners, and now he knows how to use all these automatic weapons, and
yeah,
she's a great shot.
Like, a little bit of backstory there would have been nice, I suppose.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of who he is. Like I noticed he's wearing a wedding ring. Like, all right, so he was either married at some point or might still be married. Like,
yeah.
What's going on with that? Like, give us a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally has, like, his name is Nada. There's no, it's nothing. There's nothing to his character.
They don't give him a name for a reason. Like, yeah. They want him to be anybody.
Yeah.
But I think that's the way it was in the book that this comes from.
Okay.
I don't think that character had a name either.
Okay.
Or maybe he did, but I don't think so.
Homeless, like, doesn't seem like it'd be horrible.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah, like, in this big community, like, there's people making dinner.
This is what communism is supposed to be. This is communism on paper.
Yeah. I mean, granted, you're living in a shit pile, but, like...
Yeah, I mean, if you had a little more money, you could, you know, fancy it up a little bit, but... Everybody's getting paid in food. Everybody's working.
They got a TV set up. Like, you know, come on.
Hell yeah, man. They got a shower?
Yeah.
Homeless community with a working shower? Sell that one to Seattle.
Oh, palm trees, too, I just noticed.
Oh, yeah.
As I slam into the mic arm with my beer.
Yeah, sure did. That's okay. How amazing is Keith David?
Yeah. We say this every... Because this is like the third time, I think, he's been in a movie that we've done.
Probably.
Yeah. He is just goddamn awesome in everything.
It is. Because we did The Thing, Pitch Black, and this.
Yeah. All right. I couldn't remember the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just fucking awesome every time out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, even in Shitty Things, like, he's still fucking... He's still awesome.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a really shitty movie that he's been in.
Yeah, like, I couldn't... I mean, like, I can...
I think he was in Riddick, and that was pretty shitty.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I've only seen Pitch Black.
Oh. So, there's Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, and then Riddick. First two are amazing. Third one's bullshit.
Duty.
It's duty. What didn't you like about this movie?
Let's see. Well, you know, the like you said, the pacing thing, I can see once we talked about it. It does go a little awry once you get the reveal of the space station.
Yeah.
You know, I said I could use just a little bit more on Roddy Piper. And like less on that less on the backstory of the aliens, maybe. Because we don't need to know. We don't need to know, like, you know, how close they are working with humans. We know that there is humans working with them. We know that, like, at that point, we know they're just about business. Like, we don't even need them to tell us that.
Yeah. Well, you also get that from all the messages. It's all obey.
Consume. Obey, yeah.
You look at the money, it says, this is your God, you know? And they're beating you over the head with the fact that it's economically charged. It's to keep you, you know, like, placid. While they take over.
Yeah. I did notice this movie had a lot of, like, instead of sad walking away Hulk music, we get sad, like, Roddy Piper walking away music.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm not really complaining, yeah.
Like, my childhood, it loves this movie. It's alien monsters. It's wrestlers. It's cool fight scenes. It's guns. There's one set of boobs at the end.
Yeah, completely unnecessarily.
Excuse you.
I'm not, again, not complaining, but yeah.
It's got everything that, like, it's got everything that a little kid definitely fucking wants. And that little kid who grew up, like, from the 80s and 90s to now, that's what I still love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I was 8 when this came out. I was 87. Or no, 88. So I was 9.
Yeah.
And I remember talking about it at school, being like, holy shit, this looks amazing. Like,
yeah.
You know, everybody just wanting to see it because it looks cool. And, like, I think I finally saw it when it came on HBO. So probably, like, 1990 or so is when I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching it with my dad. Like, oh, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I didn't see it as, a little kid. I think I saw it in, like, the mid-90s.
Yeah. I want to say I didn't see it again until I had rented it later on in the 90s,
from
Blockbuster, because I used to just consume movies from Blockbuster.
Yep.
It was rent one, get one free. So just two movies at a time, every other day or so.
Yeah. I would rent every weekend. I would go and rent movies with my grandfather.
Yeah.
This might've been one of them, but I'm pretty sure I saw this on Monster Vision or something.
Oh, yeah. This was definitely a TNT movie. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. I really like that when everything goes black and white, it looks like a movie from the early 60s.
Yeah.
It's got
that paranoia, back when that paranoia was in with movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even just I don't know, the way they color treated the film or whatever, it looks. Or they use old stock film, maybe. It looks like shit from the 60s. And it's fantastic.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is a really solid, solid movie.
Yeah. Look at the fucking Ray Liotta level crater face on Roddy Piper.
Yeah, he does have some hard miles. I mean, he didn't live that long. He was 61 when he died.
He lived hard.
Yeah.
He started wrestling when he was 13 or something.
Yeah.
And he was out on the road. Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and that was back when wrestling was oh, you're hurt? Oh, here's a giant bag of painkillers.
Yeah.
You still gotta wrestle tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's from that era where the fans, the early era for him, the fans didn't know shit was fake.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they didn't care. So if, let's say, you're a heel and you do some crazy shit, people will attack you in the fucking parking lot.
yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you're overly familiar with wrestling, but do you know who Jim Cornette is?
I know that name.
He used to be the manager guy who always had the tennis racket.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
Jim
Cornette. He's been in the wrestling business since he was a kid. He started as a photographer and then just kind of worked his way up.
Yeah.
He's got tons of stories on his podcast that he tells about people just being attacked in parking lots, wrestlers being stabbed and shit.
Jesus.
To the point where he used to carry a gun to and from the parking lot.
I have a very niche interest in wrestling. I fucking loved WWF in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
It was the shit.
Yeah.
And then,
I'm the same way.
Yeah. And then by the Attitude Era is when I started to age out of it, but at the same time I still the best wrestling games were from that era. I still have a fond remembrance for it, but I still I just can't get back into it.
I love the era of the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
Raw versus Nitro,
so good because they were trying to outdo each other, so they were always going fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But the end of the Attitude Era is when I was I'm done here.
So I started checking out in the middle of the Attitude Era.
Yeah, 2002, I think I was pretty much done with it.
Yeah, yeah, it was earlier than that, I think, for me.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was around then.
I love going back and watching old interviews, and Dark Side of the Ring is amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, I love hearing about all that era, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Oh man, I used to love going. My dad would take me to. When they'd come to fucking the Knickerbocker Arena at the time, went there a bunch of saw the Undertaker.
You just
wrestle.
Aged yourself,
yeah,
horribly.
Well, I said Knickerbocker Arena at the time,
yeah.
I saw Dusty Rhodes, I saw the Undertaker, I saw the fucking Ultimate Warrior,
yeah,
You know? Oh, that was,
shit was insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, I remember watching the Survivor series when, like, the Undertaker, like, first came out.
Yeah.
And just people were just, like, going fucking bananas. Like,
yeah,
this dude is fucking amazing. It's this, like, giant fucking scary dude. Like,
and he was that for 35 fucking years?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is, like, when he had the full, like, tuxedo and, like,
yeah,
the fucking boots with, like, the spats all the way up. Like, yeah, yeah.
That was when he was... No, I was about to say that was when he was cool, but he's been cool the whole fucking time.
I don't know. I checked out on the, like, American Badass era.
That was, yeah, I mean, he was just trying to keep it fresh, I guess. But he eventually went back to the regular, yeah, old Undertaker.
Yeah, yeah.
Phenom.
Yeah, like, just, he was so fucking awesome at that time.
Yeah.
The tombstone, like, oh, holy shit.
He had the best promos, because he'd be, like, in a workshop building a casket.
Fucking Paul Bearer, like, he's just hype man. Yeah, yeah. He's just silent for the whole thing, and Paul Bearer is just hyping him up.
Yep.
Oh, God, that used to be the... Remember, like, we had Piper's Pit? Remember that?
Yeah.
Like,
that was fuck awesome. Fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, what was Brother Love's show? Which I didn't even realize was also... Oh, I
hated him.
He was Paul Bearer.
No, no.
I thought he was.
Brother Love was not. Brother Love was actually Undertaker's original manager.
Okay, okay.
And then they ditched him and brought in...
Some reason I thought it was the same guy. He just, you know, changed his, like, costume.
Percy Pringle was...
Paul Periwinkle.
Pringle.
Was it?
Percy Pringle.
I think Paul Periwinkle was, like, one of his, like, original, like, wrestling names.
Oh,
like,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that was Paul Bearer. Brother Love... what the fuck's his real name?
He was like, he was like another character though, Brother Love.
He was, yeah, he was a character. He wore like a white suit with a red shirt.
And no. I know who he is, but like, didn't he play another character too?
I don't think so. But he's always been like super high in like the corporate world of wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he's a booker and a storyline guy, right. Shit like that. What the fuck is his name? I keep wanting to say Vince Russo, but it's not him because he's a dumb piece of shit. Fuck. Vince Russo is the guy that's responsible for, like, the really shitty parts of the Attitude Era. Like, the stuff that felt like Jerry Springer.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that was,
yeah,
Vince Russo.
All right, all right.
But anyway, back to They Live, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Hey.
Wrestle talk.
Yeah, I guess we can throw some ratings on this at this point. We've been doing this. We did ramble for it. Well,
we've rambled quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
because I don't want to sell this short. Like, other than just like, because we're doing the, like, it's awesome. Just watch it. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's. I mean, a lot of it boils down to that.
Yeah.
There are weak spots in this movie, but they're not enough to bitch about. Like.
Yeah, like Roddy, like I said, Roddy Piper acts a little dumb at some points.
But I could have done without about half of those cheesy one-liners.
Yeah. Yeah, like the whole, like I remember being, when I saw this as a kid, like the scene where he does the, you know, I've just come to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Yeah.
I remember that being like really just fucking like jaw-droppingly kick ass.
It is.
And then like when I watched it today, it was just like, he really like. He goes from walking down the street to robbing a bank in, like, a flip of a switch.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
That character flip is too sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
He should build up into it. Like, he should build into that guy the way Charles Bronson kind of levels up in Death Wish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, start low with a fucking sock full of quarters. Then work your way up to the grenade launcher.
Sock full of quarters.
That was his first, like, street weapon in that movie.
Yeah. Take a run at LaFour's with a sock full of quarters.
Oh, shit. All right. What do you rate this movie?
I'm going to go high on this one. I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it's just, it's, you know, again, it's not winning any Oscars. Like, as far as the movies that we do, it's just awesome. It's fun. It's action-y. It's not very horror-y, I will say. Like,
no, it's more of a sci-fi action.
Yeah, it's more of a thriller, I would say. because it's got that paranoia like to it, you know?
Yeah, almost like Body Snatchers.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So yeah, I mean, like it does that well. Like it's just it's enjoyable. It's just it's fucking cool.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun and it's badass.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm with you. It's an eight it's all an eight. Fucking day.
Yeah. Oh man, this is the. Yeah, it's like the police first raid the homeless camp.
Oh yeah.
Again, not saying that this is
not relevant to today at all, eh?
Yeah, nope, nothing to do with what's going on today, especially in the Southern California area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oy vey. Are you ready for trivia on this movie?
Let's do some trivia.
All right, let me open up my email. Like a fucking old person.
Right, folks, before we get to the trivia segment of the podcast, we want to take a second to tell you about our friends over at Newsly. Newsly is an all-in-one super app for iOS and Android. It picks up the most trending articles on the web and topics that you choose at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural human voice.
That's right. For the first time ever, the entire web becomes listenable all in one place.
You can browse articles from topics that you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling and start listening to the web.
You can follow any topic as specific as you like, from sports, tech, business, science, Bitcoin, or even the Cardassians from Star Trek. It will find you the latest articles and read them to you aloud.
It gets Star Trek specific. You can get right down to it.
Yep.
They even have podcasts as well, believe it or not. You can explore trending podcasts from over 80 different countries. I will let you in on a little bit of a secret. You're going to find the Big Dumb Monsters podcast there as well. I actually have been using this. I've been using Newsly to actually listen to the podcast lately.
Have you really?
Yes, I have. But believe it or not, I have. They even have digital radio at Newsly.
You can download and use Newsly for free now at www.newsly.me and use the promo code DUMM and you will get a 1 month free premium subscription.
So check them out. Head over to newsly.me and tell them, you know what? Tell them the Big Dumb Monster sang it.
Yeah, do the thing.
And now, back to the trivia.
John Carpenter brought real, quote-unquote, homeless folks into the production for several scenes and smaller characters and gave them food as well as paychecks. And Roddy Piper was quoted, "I thought that was a pretty classy thing to do." And it really is. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you're not really, like, monopolizing on homelessness, but you're involving it heavily into your fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You might as well, you know, throw him a fucking bone.
Yeah, right? Help us out a little here.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it seems like John Carpenter is a super good dude. The line, "I have come to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum," was ad-libbed by Roddy Piper. According to John Carpenter, Piper had previously written the line in his notebook of potential verbal bits during his wrestling career, and he shared the notebook with Carpenter, and they agreed that for this particular line it fit the character and fit the film perfectly.
Yeah, that 100% does sound like a wrestling like line.
Yeah. He's standing in, like next to
like
Gorilla Monsoon or yeah, like Mean Gene.
Mean Gene, yeah. Let me tell you, Mean Gene, I have come to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I am all out of bubblegum.
Well, you heard it here, folks.
Yeah. Mean Gene Okerlund.
Fucking legend. Legend. The big fight sequence was designed, rehearsed, and choreographed in the backyard of director John Carpenter's production office. The fight between Nada and Frank was only supposed to last 20 seconds, but Piper and Dave...
like 20 minutes!
But Piper and David decided to fight it out for real, only faking the hits to the face and groin.
Oh, God
they,
damn.
They rehearsed the fight for 3 weeks. Carpenter was so impressed he kept the scene intact, which runs 5 minutes 20 seconds.
Damn.
I don't, like, Keith David is a big dude. I do not want to get punched by him, or especially professional wrestler Roddy Piper.
For 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes.
That's a very long time to get beaten.
Yeah, it really is. Although, to be kind of truthful, Piper takes the worst of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he does get his ass kicked a lot in that scene.
Yeah.
I mean, but he is like fucking, oh God, what's the one? It's not the electric chair drop, is it? Where he like, he gives him like a reverse suplex, like in a sitting position.
Like, oh yeah, he flipped him to suplex him. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was watching an interview. I think it might have even been on like behind the scenes footage or something, like a DVD commentary. And Keith David was talking about just how fucking strong Piper was. He said he picked him up upside down, like by his head, like he was going to do it like a suplex, but like stopped him midair.
Oh, Jesus.
And because he just held me there. He let go with one hand at some point. It's like,
I want to interview Keith David now just so I can ask him about this. Like,
yeah.
What was it like just getting the shit beaten out of you for 3 fucking weeks? Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, yeah. Get fucking worked over for like an hour. Probably it's at least an hour or two a day, I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, had to have been. That's what young men do. John Carpenter was impressed with Keith David's performance in The Thing and needed someone, quote, who wouldn't be a traditional sidekick but could hold his own. To this end, Carpenter wrote the role for Frank specifically for David.
All right.
See, it's good to have a friend in the industry.
Yeah.
It's all especially about somebody know, like man. John Carpenter. Like, impress John Carpenter, he'll hook you up. Because you know his next movie is not going to flop. Roddy Piper's character never gives his name, nor is he referred to by name throughout the entire movie. He's simply listed as Nada in the credits, a reference to the character George Nada in Ray Faraday Nelson's short story, 8 O'Clock in the Morning, from which this film is adapted. So, maybe George Nada is the character in the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure. Now I kind of want to read it, though.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even realize it was based on a book.
Uh-huh. This is a fun one for all you Ghostbusters fans out there. Did you notice it?
Yes, the communicators the aliens use are the PKE meters from Ghostbusters.
100%.
Yeah.
You actually just read exactly what's in the trivia.
Oh, no shit. I just noticed it when I was watching the movie this morning. Or last night, actually.
I was like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah. You thought nobody was going to notice that? Really? Yeah.
Unless he didn't care and was like, hey, nod.
It was probably just like they got a box of props to use. Like, not even realizing what the fuck it was.
They probably did. Yeah. It's like the helmets. Okay, the first episode of Firefly, the train job, you have all the soldiers in the one train car.
Yeah, yeah.
The helmets that they're wearing, same ones that they wore in Starship Troopers.
All right, yeah, yeah.
The role of Nada was originally written for, take a guess, just guess.
Oh, Kurt Russell.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But John Carpenter felt that he should cast somebody else after casting Kurt Russell in 4 of his films prior to this one.
You know, I don't know, like, not that it would have been bad, but I don't, like, Roddy Piper was good in this because, like, he needs to be a blank slate, basically.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to do nothing. Which is, you know, his character. But, like, I don't think Kurt Russell at this point would have been able... He wouldn't have been able to do it at any point because he's Kurt Russell. Like, he's just a fucking likable guy. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, he needs to be, like, kind of a douche.
Yeah.
And just, like, real gritty. Like, he could pass for fucking homeless.
Yeah. And, like, Kurt Russell's just the guy you want to have a fucking beer with. Like,
yeah.
Even when he's a bad guy in, like, Death Proof, like...
Yeah.
He's still a likable dude. Like,
yeah.
Until he tries to, you know, until he murders women with his car, but...
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, depending on your situation, that may be likable, maybe not be.
Stuntman Mike.
Stuntman Mike. Fucking legend. Can you name all 4 of those movies that he was in previous to this one?
No.
Really?
The Thing.
Yep.
The Thing.
That's definitely one of them.
Then he was in The Thing.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of any other. I know I'm going to smack myself once I hear
the You certainly are.
Yeah.
So we'll start oldest and we'll work our way up. Are you looking for the bottle opener?
I am.
It's right there behind your other thing.
Behind the vase.
Yeah. Find the lamp without a bulb in it. Elvis.
Oh, motherfucker. Yeah.
Here comes the pain. Escape from New York.
Oh.
The Thing. You got that one.
Yeah.
Are you ready to really fucking hate yourself?
Big Trouble.
There it is.
Which we will be doing a podcast. Well, it won't be on this show, but we are contributing to another show, which we will be talking about that movie.
Oh, yeah. And we'll be sure to hit you guys with links to that when that happens.
Yeah.
We'll keep you in the loop.
We'll probably find out more info next week.
Okay.
When we're doing a surprise show, we won't mention anything about.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Carpenter is apparently still fascinated that the film opened at number one in the box office, which is so weird considering the theme of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, like I think most people are gonna at that point are gonna miss the message and like,
yeah, it just went. This movie is fucking cool.
It's this cool wrestler that I like just beating people up. Like, let's go see it. Here's where he first puts on the glasses.
Oh yeah.
Again, the box of glasses is about 20 feet behind you. Like,
yeah,
immediately go get them.
Yeah, like these things are fucked. It cost $12,000 to have the train roll by for the opening shot because a technical error required them to do it a second time.
Ooh.
Can you imagine that? Hey, I know you got to go somewhere. Back this fucking train up for a minute, would you please?
Hey, you know how we got that last shot of the train?
Turns out
The lens cap was on.
Sorry.
Fuck.
There's a bunch of backstory, but Roddy Piper quit the WWF to make this film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, Vince McMahon did not want him to make this movie. I don't know if it was like because he didn't think that this would be like thematically appropriate for his wrestlers, because at this point, WWF was like aimed directly at kids. Like, it was a cartoon show.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's it. It might just have been more about just controlling the talent in general.
It could be, too.
Because, I mean, like, think about it. There weren't a lot of wrestlers making movies at that point.
No, it was him and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. It's not like now where, like, you know, they want more people in movies, you know?
WWF has their own... Well, WWE has their own...
Yeah, movie
kind of movie company, yeah.
Production house or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Let's see. On an episode of Monster Vision in 1997, which is crazy to think that Monster Vision was on in 1997, Roddy Piper mentioned that John Carpenter had wanted him to discuss the film's political subtext, which was critical of Reaganomics, while doing promotions for the film. However, due to being in the United States on a green card, because I'm pretty sure he's Canadian.
Yeah.
I
don't think he's actually Scottish.
I mean, well, I think he's Scottish, but he's Canadian. You know,
descent, but not like direct from Scotland.
Yeah. There's a lot of Scots in Canada.
Yeah.
So he was on a green card. Piper felt it wasn't his place to discuss American politics. He also noted that he rather liked President Reagan and thus didn't really agree with the film's politics, so he would shy away from talking about them while promoting the film. Well, you can't win them all.
Yeah.
Life's a bitch and she's back in heat is
oh, that's right, that was another great line.
Is Randy the Macho Man Savage's favorite line in the film. Can you imagine that? Piper.
Bitch. And she's back in heat.
Dig it.
I fucking miss the Macho Man.
I do too. Well, he had to drop the elbow on the Apocalypse and save us all.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like, he always was always like second banana to Hulk Hogan, like, especially like in the 80s. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was there just for Hulk Hogan. So, like, I don't think people really appreciated him until like later on in his career. Like,
yeah. Well, one of them was a way better wrestler than the other.
Yeah.
Fucking Macho Man.
Yeah. He was.
I could out wrestle him for days.
Yeah. God damn. He was awesome.
Yeah. Fucking snap into a Slim Jim.
Fucking Tom's brother used to work at the one of the rental. I think it was like Budget at the airport.
Yeah.
And he rented fucking Macho Man a car. And when he gave him the keys, he goes, "Macho Man, snap into a Lincoln." Fucking, oh, I wish I could have said something like that. God damn it.
And Macho seems like a cool enough dude to like take the joke.
He's saying like, "Oh yeah, brother." Like, that would have been like, that's it, I can check out now.
Yeah, I'm done. Like, I'm just gonna go kill myself. Yeah. Hey, Mach, I'm gonna lay under the car. You just roll it over me.
And don't eat too many Slim Jims, man. That's not gonna go well in the future. Trust me.
It's a bad idea. The sunglasses called Hoffman lenses are named after Alfred Hoffman, creator of LSD.
Oh, yeah. Albert. Was it Albert or Alfred?
Alfred. Alfred Hoffman.
All right.
Well, according to IMDb's trivia, it's Alfred.
Yeah, I it could be right. Who knows?
Yeah.
My memory is as shoddy as IMDb's.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, discovered it was a hallucinogenic completely by accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Fuck. Can you imagine that? Yeah. You just like accidentally mega trip.
Apparently, like, he was riding his bicycle home from his lab when it like started to kick in. Like, yeah.
That's when the acid took hold.
Yeah.
This is our last IMDb trivia fact, which there are actually a lot of trivia facts in this. I think there was a list of like 80.
I don't doubt there's a lot. This is like a beloved movie. You know?
35 to 40 is pretty much average for IMDb. This had a lot. But I kind of cherry picked. I try to keep it to like one page, one text page.
Yeah.
So we could do this much longer, but we're not going to. So the aliens superficially resemble walking, rotting corpses. John Carpenter didn't want the aliens to look like the high-tech creatures of other science fiction films. He decided that since these beings were corrupting humanity, they themselves should resemble corruptions of human beings.
Yeah, I dig it. That makes sense.
It works.
God, this is so cool. When they all like...
Oh, yeah, where they're all looking at him, talking into their watches. It's equal parts like 60s paranoia sci-fi film and like spy flick.
Yeah. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Nope.
All right, well, we will move on to the next segment of the show, which is, of course, the better known as...
That's right.
You know what? I'm going to... Wait. We'll start off with our director, John Carpenter, who we have discussed before.
Just once before?
We have just done The Thing.
Yeah.
I think we have some more, like... I know we had vampires on the board at one point. I don't know if it's still up back there. I do want to do that one. It's been a while since I've seen that.
I do like that movie. That's one I go back to every now and then.
Yeah, it's been I remember seeing that at the Cinema 10, the now defunct Cinema 10, where it used to be behind Northway Mall, which is now Target and Lowe's.
So we probably did his directorial shit. What about production for this one?
All right.
Unless you don't want me to completely fuck up your...
You would throw me the fuck off.
Yeah.
I was going to mention... I don't know if we mentioned this last time. I didn't realize he directed Memoirs of an Invisible Man. It was the Chevy Chase Invisible Man movie.
Oof.
Yeah, I remember it like getting shit on critically, but I always liked it. I remember really liking it. So I was 13 when it came out.
Yeah. He directed that?
Yeah, Jesus, I did not realize Christ. That. Sam Neill is in it. I mean, like, come on.
Sam Neill is so great.
Yeah. Chevy Chase is a gigantic asshole, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll take a look at this producer.
Daryl Hannah's fun, too.
Yeah. L Driver from Kill Bill. Produce. He's producing the Escape from New York reboot.
Oh, I don't want that at all. I didn't know that was a thing.
I don't know if I was aware of that. Let's investigate. Lee Whannell. That's the dude who directed Boogeyman.
This is going to be bad, isn't it?
Maybe he directed the Insidious movies. Upgrade. Saw. Oh, he did the Invisible Man. That one wasn't bad. The one from 2020.
I didn't wind up seeing that one.
It's not bad. It's more of like a...
Oh, he does the Insidious movies.
Very like scientific take on the Invisible Man. Yeah, he did the... Which, I don't know. Those movies never really like...
The first Insidious was great until you went into the fucking other place and saw the fucking Darth Maul ghost.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was out at the same time as the similarly named Sinister, which I think is a much better series. It was
way better. I don't know, but I can't say series because I only saw the first one of both.
Yeah, the second one.
But Sinister was way fucking better.
Yeah, yeah. I recommend both. I think there's only two of them. Sinister? Is there a third Sinister?
I think there might be a third one.
I know at least two of them are good. I don't remember about the third one.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were they don't get like they don't get enough credit, I think. They don't get talked about a lot.
Mm.
Who the fuck? Oh, Lee Whannell. I'm like, what credits am I looking at?
I think those are his acting credits.
No.
They had character names.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, because he's the dude. The guy. He's the second guy chained up with Cary Elwes. Not the guy who turns out to be the killer.
Yeah.
He's only directed six movies. The Green Hornet and Kato. I didn't realize that was a thing. I never saw Upgrade. I heard it was good.
Upgrade? What the fuck was that? Well, it's in pre-production.
He only directed Insidious. I could have sworn he did that movie Boogeyman. Maybe he just wrote it.
I don't know. What, like the Rob Zombie song? I'm your Boogeyman.
No, he had nothing to do with Boogeyman, apparently. I am just pulling that completely...
Doggy Heaven, though.
Huh. Whatever.
Produced a shitload of Saw movies, though.
Yeah. Anywho.
Okay, so it seems like he's got some decent stuff in his catalog.
I still don't want to see the reboot.
I don't want that at all.
Yeah.
Because that movie needs to have, like, a shitty screen quality.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, it doesn't... It's going to be too clean, I guarantee you.
Yeah. That is, yeah, no, that's not going to work. Pardon me. What else has he produced? He's done the recent Halloween trilogy. Halloween Kills, and the upcoming Halloween Ends.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's in a couple weeks, I think, it comes out. I'm definitely...
think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to resubscribe to The Cock.
The Cock. Let's see. I've never seen The Philadelphia Experiment. I vaguely remember that when I was a kid, and it looked cool, but never saw it.
Black Moon Rising was a... No, I'm not. I'm thinking Bad
Moon. Bad Rising. Moon.
Yeah, that's a werewolf flick.
Shitty werewolf movie.
Dark Star.
Yeah. So, yeah, nothing like...
Well, it looks like he just kind of produced his own movies.
Yeah. That's right. They did do a remake of The Fog.
Yes, he did.
We will move on.
Starring Tom Atkins, I believe.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah. I watched the original one not that long ago. I wasn't that impressed with it. It was all right. It wasn't like, I definitely need to watch this again. Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Just in the okay category?
Yeah. Roddy Piper, he's probably best known as that, as a wrestling character.
Hell yeah.
I did not realize
Hot Rod.
He originated that character on WCW before he went to WWF.
It was probably long before WCW, too.
Yeah, no, it was, most likely.
He probably wrestled as that in the, like, fucking, back yeah. in the territories.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as, like, you know.
On TV, yeah.
He created him, but he played him in 1983 in WCW, and then didn't play him in WWF until 1984. And, yeah, I remember him being huge at the time.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the video for Good Enough from The Goonies that Cyndi Lauper song.
Yeah, that was Cyndi Lauper was like really good friends with Lou Albano.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
not just in his video, like they were buds.
He played her dad in like one of the videos.
I think it was Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah, I think so. Body Slam, I remember that was like a wrestling comedy from the '80s. The Highwayman, that was like a Mad Max ripoff. If I'm remembering that proper show. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Is that the Hoff? No, it's not.
Sam Jones.
Holy shit.
I did not realize that was Sam Jones. Also known as Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah. There it is right there. 88.
He had a big 1988. Aside from being in this movie, he was in Hell Comes to Frogtown.
There is an unfortunate amount of sequels to that movie. I love it though. I love it so much. It's a heaping pile of fucking garbage and I love it.
One of the first celebrity interviews, I'm mentioning this because Roddy Piper was in 1988 a Bruce the Barber Beefcake like wrestling video. He was one of the first celebrity interviews I ever did, like in person.
Brutus?
Bruce the Barber Beefcake.
No yeah. shit. Did he have the shears?
He did.
Yeah, I don't think he leaves the house without them.
We got fucking hammered the night before the interview.
Yeah?
Like, somebody had to help Brutus into a fucking cab at the end of the night. Because he's Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He did not pay for a single drink whole night.
Absolutely not.
Dudes were coming out of the fucking woodwork to buy him drinks.
Yeah.
And like we just hung around. He told me so many crazy fucking stories. Like,
fucking ossified, right?
Yeah, yeah. Shit faced.
How bad was the interview though?
No, it was great.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, no, it went great. He told some awesome like wrestling stuff.
I figured maybe he like burned out the night before.
Pretty sure the man's used to having a few substances in him. So yeah, he rebounded pretty quickly.
They used to roofie themselves just to go to sleep in the '80s.
But I mean, he was fucking awesome interview, powerhouse drinker. There is a picture of me, him, and this other dude that I took when we were all three of us just shit faced. Yeah. And like you can clearly fucking. I'll remind me after we're done recording. I will look it up on my Facebook.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and like, sure enough, he brought the fucking the Clippers with him to the interview the next day. The panel,
sick. They have the candy stripes on them too.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Member. I just did like a member berry. fucking.
Hey, member.
Yeah. Remember, this was before pay per view. We would get Saturday night's main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like WWF, like every, like, usually in the summertime when Saturday Night Live wasn't around because it was on NBC, they would have like a late night, like huge, like wrestling event. Like, that would be like when you have your championship matches. Again, this is like before like pay-per-view, really.
Yeah, it was before they had regular TV.
Yeah.
Because they were on like local TV.
Yeah. And like they were on USA at that point too. I think Sunday mornings is when they were on.
Yep.
On USA. But yeah, like they would be on NBC Saturday nights and it'd be like, this is like when you get your Hulk Hogan fights, like your Macho Man fights, like you get your fucking steel cage matches, like all the big shit would go down on Saturday night's main event. And then they figured out we can charge a shitload of money for this.
Fuck yeah, brother. Yeah.
I think this is he has his credit for Superboy in 1992. I believe that show was out in the 80s. Maybe it was on.
No, it's at 84 to 92. Okay. I think is what it said.
88 to 92.
Oh, 88.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought maybe just put it out again in the 90s as like something else. But yeah, apparently it ran until the 92. Surprise, surprise.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
It was, yeah, I remember watching it, but it's just not being good. But again, because it was, you know, this is the dark ages as far as like comic book properties, like
yeah.
movies and TV shows.
Yeah, it really was.
So yeah, you had to watch it. He was on the USA steamy classic.
Fuck yeah. Now I have more reasons to fucking try to find that show.
Silk Stockings. He was in Highlander.
Oh, the shit, series. Yeah. Hey, fuck you, man. That show was good.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying I didn't watch it, but let's be real.
It
yeah.
could be worse. It could have been a movie after Highlander 2.
Yeah, yeah. He was in RoboCop, the series.
Ah, that one's a little rough.
Yeah, I remember watching that, and I remember it being boring. But again, because it was RoboCop, I was still watching it.
Yep.
Let's see. Yeah, this is Walker, Texas Ranger, 1998.
Hey, there we go.
I think we're about to get some lot less name recognition in some of these projects. I did the Outer Limits remake in 1999. Jack of Hearts, 1999, which seems to come up a lot now lately. That's the I'm thinking of Jack of All Trades with Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Move on. A lot more wrestling.
Yeah.
Robot Chicken, he voiced himself. He voiced himself. He didn't voice himself. He was.
Played himself. Appeared.
No, he didn't play himself. I have been drinking since about 3 o'clock this afternoon. he played. Fucking Christ. He was on a couple of episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And they were hilarious. He played this like down in his luck wrestler called Demaniac. I think was his name. Yeah, Demaniac loves you.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Let's see. Again.
Hey, Rowdy Roddy Piper fights childhood obesity. He lost.
Yeah, 1 year before appearing in Pizza Man. he did a voice in Green Lantern, Emerald Knights, and yeah, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, 2 episodes of that.
He played himself in Saints Row 4.
Which sounds about right for those crazy-ass Saints Row games.
Those are like, they're like GTA, but like everything's on meth, right?
Yeah, it's like exactly, GTA on meth, like perfect description. And yeah, that's about it for name recognizable stuff. We will move on to Keith David, who we have previously talked about a couple of times. Again, fucking awesome in pretty much everything he's in.
Yeah. Does he do anything other than act, or does he direct? Does he produce?
I don't think so. He does a lot of voice acting.
Oh, tons of voice acting.
Oh, he does produce. Let's see.
Oh, not much.
Nothing. Yeah. He did a documentary on the Gilman. 2014. That's, 2 documentaries on the Gilman.
That's fucking sweet.
Composer. Yeah, but no directing or anything like that.
No shit.
Of course, he was in The Thing in 1982. I don't know if this came up last time, but he was in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as a recurring character.
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah, Keith the Handyman.
Braddock.
the Clint, not Clint Eastwood, Chuck Norris series, Braddock.
Yep.
Missing in Action. They Live, fucking cinema classic, which is also being remade and doesn't need to be.
Roadhouse.
Yeah. Don't.
Roadhouse.
Don't watch Roadhouse.
Fucking leave it alone.
Yeah.
I don't need Ronda Rousey in a fucking. Well, actually, I don't think she's even attached
to it anymore.
I don't need anybody in a remake of Roadhouse. I just need Roadhouse.
He, of course, one of his comedic best performances in the movie Men at Work in 1990.
Fuck yes.
The commie bastard gets no food.
Somebody threw away a perfectly good white boy. I will take that to my grave. As a matter of fact, I want that on my tombstone.
Somebody threw away a perfectly good white boy. he was in the Steven Seagal classic Marked for Death, also in 1990. He was in an episode of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, the very, very boring Indiana Jones TV show.
Yeah, I don't know how you take like the most exciting character in the world and just like
put him in a boring ass TV show.
Yeah. This is really fuck him up.
Found a way to do it.
Oh, we are at the start of the fight scene, and I will let you know when it's the end of the fight scene.
Oh, fucking decks him.
God damn, it's so good. Actually, you know what? It's almost shot for shot the same as the cripple fight in South Park.
It's probably intentional.
No, it is. Yeah, like it's. I think it might actually be shot for shot.
That would not surprise me, knowing Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah. Cripple fight.
I did not realize he was in Reality Bites. I remember like everybody being in that movie in the 90s, like Ben Stiller, I want to say, Winona Ryder. What's her name? Jeanine Garofalo.
Yeah. You remember when she was like able to work?
She still does stand up. I'm like, from what I understand, she's actually like really, really good.
I always liked her stand up before.
I saw her. This had to have been in 2009 or 10, maybe. No. Yeah, 2009 at Bonnaroo. And people walked out left and right on her.
Really?
Well, and she was even like, you know, feel free to walk out. Like, she was just like.
That was her prime, like proto woke.
Yeah, this was like she was reading from her notes on stage. Like, just like it wasn't good. I'm not afraid to say I definitely was one of those people who walked out on her.
Yeah.
I love stand up comedy. And like, I don't think I've ever walked out on anybody else, but it was.
Yeah.
Ooh, it was not good.
A little rough, eh?
Yeah. He was in The Quick and the Dead, the Sam Raimi Western, which fucking awesome, I will say, every time we mention it.
Yep.
I'm really just cutting. There's a lot of things
Holy shit, I forgot he was in Dead Presidents.
Dead Presidents. He's the voice of Goliath in the Gargoyles movies and cartoon, which awesome as well.
So good.
Yeah. I got to interview Greg Wiseman, the creator of that,
and really?
Young Justice on my podcast before, and yeah, he was awesome. And I don't think I asked him about fucking Keith David, goddammit. That was a wasted opportunity.
Sure was.
Gargoyles again.
Princess Mononoke.
Yes, that's right. This is the only reason I'm still reading his credits. Because I remember this from the other times we've talked about him. He is in the 1997 Murder, She Wrote TV movie South by Southwest.
Somebody else was just recently in that, too.
Yeah, like an episode or two ago it came up. I am just going to outright say this. We are about to be in a goddamn orgy of Jessica Fletcher fucking credits.
Really?
I think we're about to beat the record again.
Really?
Yeah. We just set the record. What was it? 5 credits was the last one?
It was 5 or 6. I think 5.
I think 5 was the one we set. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Maybe.
Because I thought we hit 5.
Even if it is 6, I think we might beat 6.
I thought we hit 5 with Rowan and Rob.
Maybe. Maybe you're right. So it might be 6.
Let's find out.
Either way. We got one. Yeah, so that's 1. Hold on. He was in an episode of... It's Tales from the Crypt, the animated one.
It's not the good one. It's not good.
I'm going to move on because we've talked about Keith David before. And again,
he's amazing.
Fucking awesome. I'm going to move on to Meg Foster. She was Holly, the TV station. I don't know. She's like a exec or something there.
Something like that.
Yeah. The traitor. Yeah. She fucking shoots Keith David, and for that, she deserved to die.
I did like that scene, though, where like you see her just hold the gun up to his head,
and then you hear the shot.
It cuts, and you hear the shot.
Yeah.
That way, we don't have to see our hero die.
She was in the Rob Zombie movie 31.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was. She was also in the bad Rob Zombie movie Lords of Salem.
That was even worse.
Yeah.
31 was like a weird Running Man.
Yeah. Yeah, like a fucked up Running Man. Yeah. Lords of Salem was just a weird witch movie.
Yeah.
She was in Xena and Hercules. She was in the TV show Sliders. This is 1999.
She played the same character in Hercules and Xena.
Oh, I did not even realize that. Hera. The goddess Hera, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Hercules' stepmother.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Deep Space.
Sheep Space Nine.
Sheep Space Nine.
Yep.
Deep Space Nine. She was in an episode of that. She was in two episodes of Murder, She Wrote, 1985 and 1996. That is number two on the evening. And I want to say we have Murder, She Wrote on maybe almost every one of these remaining times.
Holy balls.
There's definitely like one or two where it's not, but it might be like almost all of them.
Did you see the trailers for the new Quantum Leap?
I saw that they released some stuff for it. I didn't watch it, though. What does it look like? Yay, nay?
Looks like Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
It looks like the exact same story.
Just new.
But I don't think he's like stuck leaping. I think he's like choosing to leap.
All right.
It's not going to be the same without Sam.
Yeah. I was never really into Quantum Leap all that much.
Oh, no?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, people keep recommending it to me, and I just, eh. I don't know, I'm too far out of the, like, frame of reference, like, to enjoy it, I think.
Yeah, probably.
He was in the movie Blind Fury with Rutger Hauer, which is a fucking fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah, 80s action movie. Rick Overton, friend of the show, is in that movie. He's one of the, thugs who's chasing, fucking Rutger Hauer.
You want a piece of rock candy?
He gives him the rock because he's a blind
just a
guy.
Fucking rock.
They Live, 1988, of course. She was on the show Miami Vice. She was on an episode of The Cosby Show. Hopefully she had a better experience than some of the actresses who were on that show at that time.
Woo! Hey, according to the law...
According to the law, we can't ask him about that because he already admitted to it, and we're saying we wouldn't give him any shit for that. Uh-huh, so I don't know how one gets that deal, but whatever. 1985, she was in the Twilight Zone remake, which shows up a lot on this show.
Really does.
She was in the show Cagney and Lacey in the 80s as a recurring character, it looks like.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, the fight scene ended about 30 seconds ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is, after he first gets the glasses on. They're all just beat the fuck up.
Yeah. Ain't love grand.
Oh, God.
Police Story.
Yeah, Police Story, 1977.
Oh, I got excited for like a hot second.
She was all over a lot of big shows in the
70s. Not the Jackie Chan Police Story.
Oh, yeah, no, the TV series. She was in Hawaii 5-0. She was in Beretta. Streets of San Francisco. She was in The $6 Million Man, Barnaby Jones.
Well, the hard hitter, Mannix. Like hard hitting, like alternative television.
The Mod Squad.
Jesus.
Bonanza.
Has she been acting since she was like 10?
Since 1969. She would have been 20, maybe. Let's see. She was born in 1948. She was 21. Let's see. We will move on. George Buckflower.
That's right.
Yeah, he is most famously known probably as Red the Drunk in Back to the Future 1
and
2.
Can you scroll back up just to his picture again? Is that Orson Welles or is that not Orson Welles?
That does look like later day Orson Welles. Yeah, yeah.
All right, just didn't know if I was crazy.
He has been in quite a few John Carpenter movies. He was in a lot of Power Rangers stuff. Always a bartender or like a homeless guy for some reason.
Well, he's got the look.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Playing the type. Power Rangers Time Force, two separate things, credits for that. Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. Power Rangers in Space. Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, the NBC, or no, I'm sorry, CBS show. Mm-hmm. The Pretender was an NBC show. He was on that as well. Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction.
I watched so much of that as a kid.
Let's see. He was on ER. He was in the Wishmaster movie as, guess what?
Homeless guy.
Man. Yeah. NYPD Blue.
That's like if somebody looked at me and went, I imagine you in a movie. But I imagine you in dirty clothes.
Maybe a little disheveled.
Looking just about the way you are.
He was in John Carpenter's Village of the Damned. He is in the now like cult following movie Tammy and the T-Rex. Nick has just completely
I did a thing. I did a bad.
Ripped out his microphone arm.
I did a bad.
He was on the show, which always gets mentioned on here quite a bit. The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Here's an episode of that.
Hell yeah.
He was in the movie Munchie, which was just featured on this current season of Mystery Science Theater. Waxwork 2, 976 Evil 2.
Do you know your career is in the toilet when you're in 967 Evil 2?
Puppet Master 2.
So he's the king of the sequels.
Yeah.
Sundown, The Vampire in Retreat. Terrible ass movie.
That was 1989. Elliot Law shows up a lot.
Forget who the fuck was in it. Like, it's got like great actors in it, but that movie is such fucking trash. Have you seen it?
I have not, no.
Dude.
That bad.
Do me a favor and click on it. Just so I can refresh myself on who's in it. Yeah, Bruce Campbell.
Oh, yeah. And David Carradine as well.
Yes. It's so weird.
This dude had a big 1988. He was in They Live. He was in the notoriously horrible movie Mac and Me.
Yes. I've probably said this before, but have you seen those clips from Paul Rudd on Conan?
On like every single appearance that like Paul Rudd has been on for like the past something like 20 something years.
Yeah.
On Conan, he always like plays this clip of Mac and
Me. It's like, let's go to a clip from the movie. Yeah. Mac and Me.
He was in the movie Pumpkinhead, which we talked about him before, and the Lance Hendrickson 1988 horror classic, I'll say it. Also it is. 1988.
It's a classic. Yeah. It's just not great.
Also in 1988, he was in Maniac Cop. And of course, Sorority Babes. Also with
Bruce Campbell.
I think so, yeah. Isn't that Robert Zadar as the Maniac Cop?
I think so.
Sorority Babes in the Slime Ball Bowl-O-Rama.
Yeah, this is where we start getting into the porno.
Yeah. Before that, let's see. Party Favors, which I'm sure isn't a porno in any way. Mm. Playboy Bedtime Stories, Taking It All Off. Death Blow, which I'm sure is an action movie.
Probably.
Yeah. Let's see. Bates Motel TV movie.
Weird.
Again, Back to the Future. He was in the John Carpenter. Was it John Carpenter? Yeah, Starman.
Yes. I think that was his second movie?
Possibly. It was Jeff Bridges. That's a movie I have to see. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
He was a drunk in Escape from New York.
Me too.
He was in an episode of The Dukes of Hazzard, the original movie The Fog, the 70s version, a TV movie of the Time Machine. It's not the one that like everybody mostly knows, I don't think.
The Time Machine?
Yeah.
I think the one that everybody knows is from the 60s.
I think so. Let's see. Drive-In Massacre. Deep Jaws, which, again, sure isn't a porno movie.
I'm pretty sure this is all mostly, like...
It may not be a porno movie.
Scandalous.
But he's a porno crew member.
Yeah.
That's his credit.
As C.D. LaFleur, yeah.
C.D. LaFleur. Okay, I see you. There's another credit where he has, like, a weird name. we'll come across it, I'm sure. Oh, that's what she said, but...
Ilsa, the she-wolf of the SS.
Yeah. Orgy American Style. Video Vixens.
Succula.
Guess Who's coming this weekend? Again, I am 100% positive that is not a porno.
We have definitely talked about all of these movies before.
Sex in the Comics. Slash of Lust. Below the Belt. Mother Knows Best.
Touch me.
All right, we're going to move on from old porno balls here. Peter Jason, what was his name? Gilbert? Yeah, Gilbert. He's the guy who looks but is actually not Meatloaf. still in like a lot of stuff in pre-production and coming out.
That's that guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The guy with like the safari jacket.
The like leader of the resistance.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff in pre-production and coming in soon.
This dude has been in a ton of shit. He was in the Deadwood movie and he was in like 22 episodes of Deadwood.
Con Stapleton.
I don't remember that character at all, but yeah, Con Stapleton he plays in Deadwood. He was in Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. He was on that show NCIS. I have never seen one of those like Navy lawyer shows. That,
yeah.
I don't know how there are more than one of them, but somehow there are.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty.
Yeah. He was in Hail Caesar, the Coen Brothers movie, which is not one of their best.
Still better than Burn After Reading.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty bad. He was in the series Arrested Development. I do not remember his character.
He was in Scorpion. Scorpion was a good show for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a CBS like action crime-solving show, right?
Yeah, but they were like nerds.
Yeah, like the one guy like create some program that like some computer program that had something to do with like capturing people maybe or something like that. I don't
know. Something like that. There's all kinds of shit like that.
I might be thinking of Numbers.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Numbers.
It's the fucking same. Willow Creek. Isn't that like a Bigfoot horror movie?
I fucking hope so.
Let's see. Yep.
So that's supposed to be like a found footage?
Yeah, it was like a found footage horror movie. I remember it being kind of boring, not going to lie. We went back a little bit. Scorpion.
Oh, no.
CSI. He did a voice in Gears of War 3. I want to say 2 as well, maybe.
Probably.
He was in an episode of Chuck, an episode of Justified, Cold Case. He was an episode of Castle in 2009. That show's that old? Jesus.
Yeah, it's real old.
He was in the movie Milk in 2008. that was the one about Harvey Milk with Sean Penn.
I hear a lot of really good things about that movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I just don't care about the subject matter that much.
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Then Deadwood, of course, from 2004 to 2006. 26 episodes of Deadwood.
That show is so fucking good.
He's in the movie Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell, where he's the soccer coach.
Oh, Jesus.
We're still only in 2004. He's in Carnival. He's in the Jackie Chan Adventures cartoon.
This is ludicrous.
He's in the movie Seabiscuit, which I didn't understand the appeal of that movie. Like, I understand the appeal of horse racing. Why do I want to see a movie about horse racing?
Well, Seabiscuit is supposed to be like a Seabiscuit's story is kind of like the American dream, but with horses.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, that horse was old as shit, and his jockey was large for a jockey. But they made it work.
JAG, another Navy lawyer crime show.
Hey, Ghosts of Mars.
I did a voice. Oh, yeah. Another John Carpenter movie.
Yep.
I did a voice on Batman Beyond, which is an awesome cartoon.
Sure was.
Nash Bridges, same character in the Batman Beyond movie. He did the new Batman Adventures, which is like one of the like names of the Batman animated series. It was like Batman the animated series.
That was
like,
not good.
Yeah, that's when it started to get bad, because then it was Batman and the Adventures of Batman and Robin, which was still pretty good then.
Yeah.
And then I think after that is when it went to the new Batman Adventures and it started to drop in quality.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Holy shit, Fallout 2 is only from 98?
Yeah, that's crazy. He did a voice on Pinky and the Brain, Kung Fu, The Legend Continues, another Steven Seagal classic, The Glimmer Man.
We talk about that movie way more than we should.
Yeah. That was when he was like full on in his like daishiki wearing phase, like daishiki and peace beads. Like, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah. Escape from LA, he was in. Another John Classic. John Carpenter. I can't even speak anymore. Carpenter movie.
Escape from LA is like a tenth of the quality of Escape from New York.
Yeah.
But I still love it because I love Snake Plissken that much.
In 1995, he played Vincent Nader on Murder, She Wrote 3.
Hit the hat trick.
Yeah, yeah. He was in the Mortal Kombat movie in 1995. Congo, also in 1995.
Holy shit.
Village of the Damned in 1995.
Now, that's a remake, right? Village of the Damned?
Yes. There was like a 50s or 60s movies.
Yeah.
The Demolitionist. Isn't this a Sly Stallone
movie? No, it's the Demolition Man.
Yep, you're right.
Nicole Eggert
and Richard Grieco. Smoked a cigarette with Richard Grieco.
What the fuck?
It was like 1 a.m. outside of our hotel at a convention, fucking Super Mega Fest. Tom Berenger, too. Oh. I was frightened of fucking Tom Berenger.
Yeah, well, his cigarette probably had crack in it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He was, he's a gruff dude. He's a gruff dude.
What year was this?
This had to have been 2014 or 15, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the Mouth of Madness, which is amazing. Another amazing John Carpenter movie. Very Lovecraftian.
So good.
Yeah. He was in the Coach TV series with Craig T. Nelson. Mm-hmm. Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, shows up again. He was in an episode of Married with Children in 1993. 'Tis Time to Smell the Roses. Al retires early. Oh, yeah, when he goes to work at like the Foot Locker place and he works for the three Habibs.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
All right, I'm going to say Habib, then I'll point to the one that I want. Charlene Tilton. I remember that she's selling like exercise equipment.
Yeah.
I remember that episode.
The Abdominizer.
Let's see. He was in an episode of Roseanne. He was on Batman the Animated Series as well. He was on like a lot of Batman animated projects.
Mm-hmm.
He was in A Different World, Perfect Strangers, Quantum Woof. Leap. The movie Arachnophobia.
I watched Perfect Strangers, but I also hated it.
Yeah. I remember like, it was one of those shows I just watched because it was like TGIF, like on ABC. Yeah. Like
it's on, but
yeah,
who gives a fuck?
What's his? Larry Appleton is on fucking She-Hulk now. Well, I can't remember the actors. Mark Lynn Baker is the actor's name.
Yeah.
He plays She-Hulk's dad. Another Steven Seagal classic, Marked for Death.
Wow.
That was the one that Keith David was also in.
Yes.
He's in The Hunt for Red October.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Alienation?
Yeah. Also a big 1988 for this dude. He was in They Live, Alien Nation, and Red Heat.
God damn.
It was in Arnold Schwarzenegger. And an episode of Webster also.
Actually, Red Heat kind of sucked.
That was the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jim Belushi, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, because he was like the Russian cop who comes over.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Jim Belushi is the, you know, loose cannon, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't follow the rules, guy.
You know what? We got our Murder, She Wrote credit.
We did.
So I might just get the...
Hey, Remington Steele.
Yeah, this dude, again, this dude's in a lot of shit. Golden Girls.
Fucking Brewster's Steel, Millions.
Amazing Stories. Brewster's Millions. Riptide. Fucking The Karate Kid. I got to read the rest of his fucking credits.
What the fuck? How is this possible?
48 Hours. And, like, yeah, nobody recognizes this fucking guy.
Well, because he's not, like, in the forefront of much of anything.
Yeah. Mommy Dearest. The Long Riders. He's in the Incredible Hulk TV series. BJ and the Bear.
Fuck yeah.
Starsky and Hutch. One Day at a Time. Gunsmoke. Hawaii 5-0. Rio Lobo he's in. Isn't it, like, yeah, like a fucking classic Western?
Yeah.
Rio
Lobo, I think, might actually be a John Wayne flick.
I think you are right. Let's investigate. Yep.
Yeah.
John Wayne.
Give him hell, John.
And that's really about it for the name. But that's a lot of
shit. That's insane.
Dude. Yeah. This dude has a crazy amount of credits, like known shit. Good for him.
But we hit a fourfer.
Yeah. Sorry. Raymond de Saint-Jacques. or Raymond St. Jacques, if you're not a pretentious asshole. He was the street preacher in this, the guy who was like blind and like swinging at the cops.
You know, street preacher.
Yeah, yeah. He was in the movie, he played Frederick Douglass in the movie Glory, 1989. MacGyver, A Different World, he was in. Hunter, Starman. Oh, no, that's the Starman TV series. Never mind. He was in Amen and 227, which were two NBC like Saturday night sitcoms.
Mm-hmm. 227 was an offshoot of something else, wasn't it?
Maybe. Or was Amen an offshoot of 227?
Oh, maybe.
Or maybe vice versa. I don't remember. But they, I think they were related somehow. Like, you're right. But in 1984 and in 1985, he played two different characters on
Murder, She Wrote.
That was last. This is number four, isn't it? I think this is five.
Was the last guy in it?
I think the last guy was number three.
No, he would have been four if he was in it.
Okay. Yes. Shit. Hold on. Let's investigate.
Oh God!
Smash the shit on the table.
How did you bring up a calculator?
I don't know. Let's see. I also zoomed in too. I'm pretty sure this dude was on Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, that would have been four.
Okay, so he's four. Then, four. So this dude's five.
Uh-huh.
We will... Again, I don't want to sell him short. He might be in some... Fall Guy, Cagney and Lacey shows up again.
Airwolf.
Yep. Knight Rider with a helicopter.
I don't think we go a single episode without an Airwolf credit.
That is another one that shows up.
And Trapper John MD. What the fuck?
Trapper John, yep. Fantasy Island, Heart to Heart shows up for like the second or third time tonight. BJ and the Bear.
Fuck yeah.
She was on Wonder Woman. Quincy, M.E. Vegas with what's his name? The dude who was Spencer Fire. Robert Urich. There we go. Police Story shows up again. McLeod. The Green Beret, isn't that another John Wayne movie?
That is. That is the only Vietnam set movie that happened during the Vietnam conflict.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Rawhide, 1965. Move him in.
Goddamn,
get him out.
Goddamn Clint Eastwood, man.
Ride him in, Rawhide. All right, moving on. Ooh, excuse me. I'm going to burp right into the microphone to make it as gross as possible.
Absolutely.
Wendy Brainerd. She was the family man's daughter. I think she's one of the people who's like watching TV. She's like, I have a headache.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That girl, yeah. She was on Kids Incorporated in the 80s and 90s.
I watched a lot of that.
Yeah, same here. That was like the competing show to the new Mickey Mouse Club.
I did not know that started in the 80s, though. Like the mid-80s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I knew it. Like, yeah.
I only knew it from the 90s.
She was in Don't Tell Mom, The Babysitter's Dead. I remember going to see that. Like, and that was like one of the first movies I was allowed to go see like with friends by myself.
Oh, really?
I was 12.
The dishes are done, man.
Yeah. They Live, Webster, and again, 1987, Murder, She Wrote.
Six.
Uh-huh. So we've tied the record.
Yeah.
We're just going to plow right the fuck through this because there's UFC on tonight, folks. Lucille Meredith. She was
a bitch in the office, the welfare, or the unemployment office.
Yeah, female interviewer. She was on Night Court. She was on Matlock. So we have another old folks solving murders show. They Live, Mr. Belvedere.
That's a lot of Matlock.
In 1985, yeah, she's on 14 episodes. 1985, she was Mrs. Brindle on
Murder, She Wrote. What the fuck is happening?
I told you, we are fucking just full of Jessica Fletcher tonight. She was on Columbo, Barnaby Jones. And that's really anything.
So not a ton, but some heavy hitters.
Yeah. Susan Blanchard was Ingenue. I'm not sure. I don't remember who that was in this movie.
Me neither.
She was in Prince of Darkness, another John Carpenter movie. That is not The Adventures in Babysitting from the movie theaters.
TV movie?
In 1985.
Holy
shit. She was on Murder, She Wrote. So that's number 7 or 8.
That's 8.
8. And we still have 3 more people left on the board.
Are you kidding me? Do they all have...
They might. I told you, there's a lot of Murder, She Wrote in this fucking episode. Let's see. Norman Alden. He is... he was Lou in Back to the Future, the owner of the malt shop.
Oh,
Lou,
shit.
Give me a milk. Chocolate. let's see. Jag shows up again. K-Pax, Patch Adams. He was a voice on Rugrats for an episode. Real Monsters. He was in Ed Wood. He was the cameraman. Cameraman Bill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we must have gone through him before, possibly. Or might have just, like, went past him. But in 1986...
No, if he had this credit, we talked about him.
And in 1988, he was on Murder, She Wrote.
Holy shit. Are we going to hit 10?
We might hit 11. We very well might. He was on the show Sledgehammer, which we mentioned quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a like a Naked Gun type of show. Back to the Future again. He was Lou. He was in the A-Team for a couple of episodes.
We get a tab. Well, you need to buy something first.
Yeah. Can't give you a tab unless you buy something. You want a Pepsi, pal? You're going to pay for it. He was in The Greatest American Hero. Fall Guy shows up again. Trapper John shows up again. The Facts of Life. Fantasy Island. Charlie's Angels. The Love Boat. Dukes of Hazzard again. Vegas again. There was a Godzilla. Oh, it's the cartoon.
Yeah.
Godzilla TV series. Barnaby Jones shows up for like the third time. Starsky and Hutch. The Rockford Files. 8 is Enough. Dallas. Again, like some of these people, like all the people in this movie have like incredible like lists of like shit they were on.
Yeah. Welcome Back, Cotter.
Welcome Back, Cotter. Yeah. Semi Tough. That was John Ritter, I think. And
Jesus.
What else was in that movie? Nope, Burt Reynolds.
What in the fuck is that?
Chris Christopherson.
This is back when movies were fucking weird.
Yeah, like a football comedy. Football sex comedy.
Yeah, it looked like Porky's, but based on football instead of high school.
Quincy shows up again. He was the voice of Aquaman and Green Arrow on the Super Friends show, from 73 to 77, Electra Woman and Dyna Girl, the Croft Super Show. So there's a lot of weird fucking puppets.
Those guys were on acid. Yeah,
a lot of it. Kojak, Adam 12, the Streets of San Francisco, Devlin. This was a cartoon. Yep. It was on USA Cartoon Express, I remember. It was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon about a motorcycle stuntman named Devlin. And so yeah, there was like Scooby-Doo, but instead of like instead of having a Great Dane, they just were stunt.
He had a motorcycle?
People. Yeah, yeah. Manic shows up again. Planet of the Apes TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Gunsmoke shows up again. The original Kung Fu.
Jesus.
Kung Fu and Kung Fu, The Legend Continues.
Yeah.
I'm going to move this. Mod Squad shows up again. Mission Impossible, Hawaii 5.
Yeah, it's like you go, okay, I'm done here.
And
oh,
then,
wait.
Like, we keep finding these, like, yeah, Hogan's Heroes, My Three Sons. Keep finding amazing Tora. We have visitors in 5. Going to scroll and try to type. Yeah, I'm just going to try to type.
Okay. I'm going to go take a pee.
Okay. I'm going to grab a Shandy then.
Shandy.
Welcome everybody to episode 3 of the Chris Show while Nick is currently away. Not really much to go over today. Let me just say, next week we have such an awesome show coming up next week, and I'm not going to say a thing about it. It's going to be so much fun. We've been looking forward to this for weeks. We now have sound because the movie stopped and now shit is playing. I am going to turn that off. And that has been episode 3 of the Chris Show.
That's episode 4 of the Chris Show.
Oh, episode 4. Sorry. We are losing count.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
So many Chris shows.
I was just using the Chris Show segment to announce that we have, well, I didn't say what we have coming next week, but that it's awesome and it's going to be super fun.
Super, super cool.
Yeah. And like, I know I'm the last person who used it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 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 Might have pinched my finger in that.
Are we at the sloppy part of the podcast?
Oh, we've been at the sloppy part.
We start sloppy.
Yeah. We got our Murder, She Wrote credit out of this person. Oh, Andy Griffith. That's right. Yeah, again, I keep trying to turn it off. And then we get to like find amazing stuff. Batman, the original 66 TV series, just a regular old henchman. Two episodes. Let's see. My Favorite Martian. The Sword and the Stone. God damn it. I was about to pull the... I'm about to turn it off.
Yep.
The Sword and the Stone from 1966. The Nutty Professors. The Rifleman. I am officially just going to click.
Yeah, X. Just do it. Just get out of here.
Just get out of here. Just go. John F. Goff, who was the well-dressed customer, I think, in the supermarket when Roddy Piper first finds the glasses.
Okay.
Let's see. He's also in the movie Tammy and the T-Rex. I never saw it, but apparently is like a modern like cult classic.
I guess.
L.A. Law shows up again. They Live. Maniac Cop shows up again. Simon and Simon.
I think the Night Stalker showed up a couple of times too.
Yeah. Why did I fucking save this person? There's no Murder, She Wrote. He was on Dukes of Hazzard.
I don't know.
Buddy Holly story in 1978.
Buddy fucking Holly!
You want to know why? You want to know why? Because I'm Buddy fucking Holly. That's why. Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS.
That's the second one to come up on that.
Oh, we are about to have some customers. Not customers.
Some customers?
Some guests. I'm going to have to get a spare chair from out of the closet. Hang on 1 second. We have one credit left. Oh, that was our last Murder, She Wrote credit. So we have eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
Rocking and steady.
That's
eight.
That's the new
record
to beat. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, last person in the Better She Wrote.
What the fuck is
wrong
with
you? We might as well just call it the Better She Wrote segment.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, Thelma Lee. I think the only reason I saved her, let me just double check this. She was in Star Trek The Next Generation.
Dude, that's good enough.
Oh,
she was in a TV series called Throb. That's gross.
Throb. She was in a show called Top of the Heap. Do you remember the show or know about it in any way?
No, I don't think so.
It was a spinoff of Married with Children.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think it got like a season. It was about like Al's best friend from high school. It was like a piece of shit. And like his son was Matt LeBlanc.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, yeah. Joseph Bologna played the guy. He was like one of Al's like best friends from high school or something. Charlie Verducci, that was his name. I remember.
Seven episodes, huh?
Yeah, didn't last very long.
Nope.
And that will do it for the Better Known As segment of the show.
That was an intense amount of Murder, She Wrote.
There was a shitload of Murder, She Wrote. Yeah, so that's the new record to beat, is eight Murder, She Wrote credits.
That's insanity. Here's a crapshoot. Go watch They Live, because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, go watch They Live, because we're going to go watch UFC.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We're done.
We're done. That's it.
We're done here.
Show's over.
Hey, do some socials.
Yeah. This ain't all my gig. You can start us off.
Okay.
Yeah.
The list is over here.
Yeah. Basically, that's the only reason I'm saying it is because I can't see the list.
It's all right. Our website, as always, is what Donner said.
Yeah.
www.bigdumbmonsterspodcast.com, or if you're feeling lazy, www.bigdumbmonsters.com. You have movie suggestions, beer suggestions. You want to tell us to go fuck ourselves. Don't send dick pics to bigdumbmonsters@gmail.com.
You keep saying that. We're eventually going to start getting
them. Yeah, but you check the email.
Touché.
We're on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, hit us up there, @dumb_monsters. If you're on Facebook, we're on Facebook, Big Dumb Monsters Pod. And if you were on Slasher, the all horror social media thing.
Thingamadoozit.
It's pretty fun. Everybody's really friendly on there. Big Dumb Monsters Podcast.
You can check us out on Instagram @big_dumb_monsters.
And of course, you can find the show on YouTube at the Big Dumb Monsters channel. Please be sure to throw us some likes, maybe leave some comments.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Do all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to get out of here. Go watch They Live.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Don't let ghoulies eat your ass.
And don't sleep in a deathbed.